Appreciate it. Yes, good. Well, I do want to thank the church first and foremost for the gift towards our final purchase of the closing costs for the home. We are buying that home for the ladies, the transition home, of course. We have a jail and prison ministry. And like he was saying, I was called out of jail and prison. I served a lot of time in three different states. Ex-gang member, suffered addiction for many years. And the Lord saved me out of that life. And now he's called me back into the jail and prison ministry to minister to those who are in jail and prison and for those who will come home. And so we want to thank God for that. But as you said, brother, if it wasn't for the risen Savior, none of us would be saved.
Yeah,
I'd still be on my way to hell tonight if I didn't recognize that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for my justification. He done that for me. And I thank God that he done that for me. I praise his name for what he's done in my life and for what he's doing. So that transition home, Lord willing, will be finalized by April 12th, what I believe. After April 12th, we can get in there and start doing some repairs that we have. So we're still trying to raise money for the repairs. I believe the whole closing cost has been paid for. Plus, and so just in a few short weeks, people have sent in money for that closing cost. And so we have some repairs that need to be done, nothing too major, so we'll get working on those. Hopefully by the end of this year, the beginning of next year, we'll have that home up and running. We want the four ladies to be in there. And that's all we're going to have is four, no more than four. Any more than four, it starts becoming overcrowded. You don't have that personal relationship that they need, that help, that one-on-one help. Down in South Carolina, we met a man called, John, I think his name was, Brother John. He runs the what they call the Shepherd's House. And they have 12 men's home.
Wow.
I mean, ex-convicts coming out and living in these homes, and the success is unbelievable, bro.
Wow.
It's blowing my mind because most people don't have that. And so I've been in contact with him, and he's helping us establish the women's transition home here. And so I thank God for his help. He's been helping us by laying things out, what we should do, not do, contracts. There's a lot of things that has to do with the contracts. You know, New York State and New York is real big on squatters' rights. So we have to write, you know, contracts up saying that they don't have that right to squat in this house. And it's just today's day and age it's totally different than what it's been. But we also have a lawyer. Okay. We had to hire a lawyer who's used to doing this stuff so that we know that we're safe. We're covering ourselves legally, covering ourselves financially. So there's a lot going into it. If you'll just keep us in prayer as God moves forward. I said, you know what? I'm glad to be back home. Glad to be at Bethel, right? Glad to sit down and hear some preaching and such. And I'm not going to make any phone calls this year. That's what I said. And I haven't made one phone call. And I had an open calendar. I don't have an open calendar anymore. God has just opened those doors for us to be able to come in and present. I think we got three other churches from that meeting, brother, that will be going to present the ministry. And so, God, you open the door and we'll step through it, right? And so we thank God that, jails, the whole jail, when I go out and preach, I just tell people, look, the jail ministry is not going to be the same.
Right.
It's changing, okay? And so God has raised me up to help people to realize that we love the face-to-face. That's what we want, but they're not going to keep that. That's going to be gone in the next 8 years, 8 to 10 years. That will no longer be in existence. We already have two states in the United States, California and Missouri, that no longer have face-to-face visits. It's all done by video, okay? You can't sit there and go in there and visit anybody anymore. Because during COVID, what they found out is that, number one, it saves money in the state. Because anytime they have visits, they have to put extra guards on, which is overtime, which is, you know, double, triple pay, depending on where that guard is. So by cutting out face-to-face visits, they save money. Number two, the contraband. Okay, it's totally cutting out contraband. There's no more drugs getting in, you know, weapons and blah, blah, blah. If that stuff is getting in, it's getting in by corrupt guards and lawyers. Okay, that's how that stuff gets in. You go, lawyers, yep. Lawyers are human, man. All you got to do is flash the money and they'll bring it in because they don't get search coming in. It's called a legal visit. And on that legal visit, they can bring in whatever.
Oh, wow.
And so the stuff will still get in, but not through visits. Okay. And so then they stop letters and Bibles from coming in, books. Why are they doing that? Because contraband that comes in through those things. And they realize that by stopping all this stuff, it's going to save them money. It's going to stop contraband. So they are really on board with the whole system of putting out their video visits. It's a good thing on our part because now we can't be shut out.
Yeah.
Okay? Now we don't have a middleman to deal with. It's just a way of technology. People always do, you know, FaceTime or, you know, whatever. And so God has given us that ability to be able to get into the jails and prisons through Zoom and through different apps. And so it's just a changing time. But we can still preach to them.
Amen.
We can still minister to them for years and years and years. And so we thank God for that. We just got to learn how to adapt with the time. It's not going to stop. What's coming next that would shut me out of the jails? One, you already know, Pastor.
Yeah.
They don't like preaching of that Bible in the jails. And they will fight hard to get you out of there. Yeah. And they have done that already in two jails, okay? Trying to get back into the Monroe County Jail. They're just fighting me. And I was in that jail for 3.5 years. Yeah. And they just don't want the truth. The chaplains are afraid of it. They hate it. They cannot stand what happens when you go in there and preach the truth. And so it's a battle. It's a fight. So we have to adapt. We have to be able to get in there still, teach them. And so I think we're going on at least 10,000 or a little more Bibles that we have sent or gave already. So maybe that Bible ministry is just going through the roof. And so we thank God for it.
Praise the
Lord. And so there's a lot going on in the ministry. And so we're always looking for help. I believe that the Lord is going to give us what we call a house mother at some point. Maybe somebody who goes through the home and then wants to stay on. That we have a special bedroom that will be set apart for that house mother who can help run that home. Okay. There's going to be security cameras, windows, and all that kind of stuff. Look, we're not prison. We're trying to get them out of the prison mindset. If we treat them like a rehab and we treat them like a jail and we treat them like a prison, that's all they're going to feel.
That's right.
We have to step out and just say, Lord, it's in your hands. At the shepherd's home, that's what they do. They just believe that God's going to help that, okay? And so that's what we're going to do when we get out there. And so keep praying for us as the Lord leads. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Let's talk about Jesus for a little bit. I like to talk about Jesus because he's the one that changed my life. Religion never changed my life. And going out there and living the programs and going into jails and prisons, that never changed my life. But Jesus changed my life. And so I want to just talk about him for a little bit this morning. We were driving on the way over here and we saw that eagle that's over there on Route 19.
Yep.
And we saw him on the side of the road. We think he had a rabbit in his mouth, and I said, oh, look, I think, you know, he's got some, and Autumn goes, hey, he got the Easter Bunny. It was funny. I was like, yeah, good. But, you know, anyway. But look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 6 here. Look what it says here, and it says, and he saith unto them, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. He says, don't fear. Just hang on. I got something to tell you, he says. He says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, and he is risen. He is not here. Well, boy, what a powerful statement to make. He is not here, that he is risen. Hey, my friends, let me just say this. If he has not risen, then we're still dead and going to hell.
Right. Yep.
What he's went through was not a joke. It's something that he had. And I just love the story of that empty tomb. And I was reading some stuff there out there today on how Jesus Christ and his resurrection proved who he was. Uh-huh. You know, they had a military guarding that tomb.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of men that would have been equal to Marines. And Marines are some bad dudes. Mm-hmm. And that's who they had surrounding that tomb. So who do you think? The disciples are just going to walk up in there and steal that body and just beat those Marines up? Or were they going to be able to pay them off? No, they couldn't afford any of that. Who were the Pharisees weren't going to come up in there? What were they going to do? Go hide his body? And then when they preached his resurrection, wouldn't they bring his body out there to show everybody it's a lie?
Mm-hmm.
But he is risen,
right? Amen.
Why? So that we may live. And it says they went to that tomb. And it says, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him, and he is gone, it's empty, and therefore we have victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God for it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look what it says here in verses 3 and 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3 and 4. And this is Paul speaking here, and he's speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, well, this is starting verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? Jesus has risen. Hey, look, he went to the cross and he died for our sins. But that it doesn't stop there. Okay? Then he said, his soul become an offering for sin. His soul goes down into hell, puts our sin there, takes the keys of death and hell, goes over to that great gulf of figs in the Abraham bosom, and 3 days later, he raises again. That's the good news. Well, why do I need the good news? The good news is you're lost. You have a debt to pay, and you can't pay it on your own. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, there's good news. Jesus Christ has come.
Amen.
What was that sin debt that I owed? Not a cross. It was a condemnation in the flames of hell. That's why Christ's soul had to go there, according to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, according to Psalm chapter 16 and 18, according to Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 13. His soul had to be made an offering for sin. Why? Because that was our condemnation, that without Christ, there was a price to pay. We can't keep his laws.
That's right.
In Exodus, he gave us 10 commandments to keep. We couldn't keep one of them. Now there's over 200 and something laws that were laid out. How many of those can we keep? Zero. That means there is a debt that people owe. But they don't even understand that they owe a debt. Brother, people are taking them from, hey, Jesus died on the cross to the resurrection. There's nothing in between. They have no clue what's went on. They have no clue why they needed Jesus Christ. Well, I need Jesus because I'm an alcoholic. Well, I need Jesus because, you know, I suffer from drugs. That's not why you need Jesus. That's just the benefit of having him.
That's right.
Those inward things, those addictions that I, that 15-year opioid addiction that I suffered from and being in a gang, that's not why I needed Jesus Christ. I needed Jesus Christ because of my sin nature.
That's right.
Because of that sin nature, there's a price to pay. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is we have Jesus Christ that paid our debt.
Mm-hmm.
He's risen.
Amen.
Victorious. Yeah. He triumphantly in front of his enemies. He said, I've got the keys of death. Hey, I'm just telling you now, when Jesus Christ saved me, the fear of death went out from me. Why? Because death no longer has a sting over me.
That's right.
I ain't afraid to die. You ask my wife, I was always afraid to die. Not today. You can go ahead. Hey, what's the worst people are going to do to me? Kill me and send me to heaven and get to kill it. Do what you got to do. Hey, I wasn't afraid as a lost person. I ain't afraid as a saved person.
That's right.
Worst is going to happen to me. I'm going off into glory. You know what I get to see? I get to see the risen Savior waiting there for me.
Yep.
You know why he bought me with his precious blood?
Right.
He paid that price for me. And today he's risen and we get to celebrate that. God forbid this filthy world. This filthy, defiled world. I want to celebrate transgenderism today.
Yeah.
Come on.
What a shame. What a spit in the face of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
What a mockery.
Yes.
That the world is making of Jesus Christ. What a mockery. They're making. What a day the devil would pick for that nonsense.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we get to celebrate he's risen.
That's right.
Well, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the what?
Scriptures.
The Scriptures. Verse 4. And he that was buried, and he that rose again the third day according to the
Scriptures.
What Scriptures was he talking about? The Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
People can't seem to get that in their head. At this point, the New Testament was not written. So what Scriptures was Paul quoting? Paul was showing them that Jesus Christ's resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection is in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People say, well, we're a New Testament church, and we live by the New Testament. My friend, let me just tell you this right now. If you don't think that we need the Old Testament to see what the New Testament brings, you are in serious trouble.
That's right.
When I met my wife, I wanted to know everything about her. Mm-hmm. Her favorite colors, what she liked to smell, what she liked to eat, what she liked to do. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we want to know the same about Christ?
That's right.
That's what the Old Testament is. It gives us that relationship. We can look forward to what he's got. Look at Paul. If you don't understand a lot of the Old Testament, remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. God saved him. Why did he save him? To send him to the Jews? Mm-mm. To the Gentiles. Amen. Why? Because they're ones born without the law.
That's it.
So what was he going to teach the Gentiles? The law. Why do we need to know the law? To show us what we are in God's eyes.
That's it.
Why do people leave that out in soul winning today?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Brother Greg, it was the law that showed me that I was a rebel against the Holy God. People say, well, you were a convict your whole life. You should have known that. I didn't. I knew that I was a rebel against mankind. And they always put me in jail. They always put me in prison and mental hospitals and rehab. But I had no clue that I was a rebel against the Holy God until the man of God got out there and started preaching that Bible. And when he showed me what I was in that Bible and I saw myself exactly the way he needed me to see myself, I got up off that floor, saved, born again man, never to be the same. That's the good news.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Yes.
Yep. Well, it says according to the scriptures, turn with me to Psalm chapter 16. We're going to do some Bible exercise here this morning. Thank God for it. Psalm chapter 16. Well, I tried to, I said I was going to teach Sunday school, but I can't. I got to preach now. I'm just going to go ahead and get wide open here for a little bit. Why? I get excited about the things of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's
I get excited. But I'm sitting at home where I read my Bible in the morning. I try to be quiet because my wife is sleeping in the bed right behind me. And I try to keep myself quiet. But sometimes I don't know if I can contain myself. But most churches are dead. They don't even think about Christ anymore. They had this little, what's that called? That little pastel or a little, what's that? What they used to teach Sunday school with? Huh? Flannograph Jesus. That's what they have. You know why I left the flannograph Jesus in prison?
Yeah.
I got the real Jesus of the King James Bible. Yeah. That's who I got. Well, look at this. Psalm 16. We're starting verse 8. 16:8 says this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. In verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in his hope. This is Jesus Christ talking. He's speaking, saying, I know. He has faith that God is going to raise him from the dead.
That's right.
And he has a hope in his flesh that one day he's going to walk. And look what it goes on to say. And it says in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus Christ knew that when he was going to die, that his soul was going to be made an offering for sin. You know what he looked forward to? The coming that God was going to raise him from the dead. Yeah. And he wasn't going to stay there.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's the same spirit of faith that he gives to a saved person.
That's right.
When I think of hell, I ain't afraid of hell. Why would I have to be?
Right. You don't.
I can't go there, Greg. And if I went there, it'd be an absolute joke. Why? Because God, Jesus Christ, put his spirit of faith in me.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that God would not leave his soul there. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus Christ tells us this, and he says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and the presence is fullness of joy, and at the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And you know what? He wants us to have that. Pleasures forevermore. We think these temporary pleasures that we have here on earth are something, but look at, people are dying and going to hell today over these temporary pleasures. And all they do is cause agony and heartache. They're temporary. Sin is fun for a season. What's it say? Sin is, I can't remember it now. said, the pleasures of sin for a season. My goodness, people are trying to live in that. Stop throwing me to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Talk about the risen Savior. If he wasn't risen, then we're still dead. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Look what it says here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I want you to see this. We're just talking about a soul being left in hell and how Jesus Christ had faith. Here's the faith of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You understand what that's saying? That there's a faith that he is the author of, that he has written. You understand that? This Paul says this, that before faith came. What do you mean before faith came? Because there was saving faith only in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And that saving faith didn't come till the New Testament. That's why he's the author of the saving faith. It's not our faith that saves us. God forbid if I had to work up enough faith to get saved.
That's right.
He told me to believe. In Galatians chapter 3:22 and Romans chapter 8 and 3:22, it says that he gives faith to those who believe.
Uh-huh.
He gives that saving faith to those who believe. And why? Because he's the author of the saving faith. He is the one who says, it is my faith that I'm going to put into that person who believes. And when that faith comes inside that person, now they have that same spirit of faith that their soul's not going to be left in hell. That they're going to resurrect with Jesus Christ. When I die, my body goes into the grave. I know it's not the end because Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to resurrect that thing and I'll be in heaven for eternity. Amen. That's the hope that's in me.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What a hope. But you know what? People don't want that hope. All the hope they want is in this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's always asphyxiated about something in this world. And let me just tell you. A bunch of musicians and this music stuff is killing people. It's deceiving them. I'm watching my people stand on the corners at 14 and 15 years old because somebody said go out there and sell drugs and you'll make lots of money and get all the girls and they're dying and you know what? They're going to face judgment for that. And who's telling them? Who's going into the jails and telling these men and women these things? Nobody. Why? The hope is built on this world and nothing else. They don't even want it, brother. If I go into jail, we preach the hope that is in Jesus Christ, and it just, look at me, it just falls on deaf ears. There's many people who say, look, I need help. I'm suicidal. Help me. You know, I suffer from addiction. But I say, look, man, here's where we can get you help. You know what they say? Oh, I'll be okay. I got this. They're just looking for sympathy. Because that's what the world has done. That's all we do is give them sympathy. Zero help. And then when somebody tries to step to them and say, hey, here's where the help is. Here's where the answer lies. They go, no, I'll be okay. I got this. And they have no clue that they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, how do you know that? Well, for 40 years, I lived outside of Jesus Christ. For 40 years in addiction. 40 years of being in and out of jails and prisons. 40 years of being in mental hospitals and rehab. 40 years out there living as a gang member and suffering all those things. For what? What was it all for? What did I gain from that? Nothing. It's all vain.
Mm-hmm.
But people can't get that into their head. They cannot get into their head that there's more in Jesus Christ than what they see. They don't understand that. It's always the temple. It's always the temporary. Just put a little band-aid on. Let me just get through this. And then 3, 4, 5 days, brother, go by, and all of a sudden, things start getting not so heavy for them anymore. And guess what? They forget all about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where that came from, but thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Looking unto Jesus, the author, and not is he only the author, but he's the finisher of our faith. He is the finisher. Our saving faith comes from Jesus Christ. It is his faith that finishes our salvation. Salvation has always been of God, not of man. We can't work our way. We can't be good enough to get in. Hey, a lot of the reason why my family is not saved, because they're good, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, and they're blinded by that goodness. They're blinded because they do things right. Well, you know, Dale, you were a convict, and you were an addict. You needed Jesus. No, we all need Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Every single person. Hey, it don't don't take a different blood to save a goody two-shoe than it does to save me. It's the same blood, the same cross, the same Christ. But people want to say, well, you know, you needed that. No, we all need Jesus. Man. We all need to be saved. We all need to be born again. My kids grew up in church. Do you think my kids just get a freebie into heaven?
No.
They need to get saved too, and thank God they are. They couldn't ride my coattail in there. But you know, a lot of parents are telling their kids they're going to be okay. My wife talks with a lady. She's got to be over 100 years old now, wouldn't you say, honey? And my wife talked to her one day. She said, when did you get saved? She goes, oh, I've just always been in church. She goes, what? I'd like to hear your testimony of when you got saved. I'm not even kidding you. She just said this. Oh, I've always been in church. I'm going to be okay. I've always been in church my whole life. A pastor's wife has been working with her for about, how long, honey, you think? 10 years? Been trying to get her to see, and she just won't look. Why? Because her goodness, it's blinded her. There are people sitting in church pews because of what they do in society, because they're not lawbreakers, because they're not out there using dope and doing all, because they're good, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. They're blinded by the goodness because they come into church and they sit, but there's nothing to them. There's nothing to that. They've never been saved, and they're blinded by that, and they just sit there. And the Bible says that that they've been blinded by the devil. And so the only way they can see is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it says here is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want you to see this. Boy, this gets me. Who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before Christ, it says that before him he endured the cross. What do you mean? What joy could possibly he face enduring the cross? Anybody here want to get crucified and say how joyful that is? But what was that joy? Us.
Amen.
He's seen every one of our faces. And he went to that cross and he said, I'm going to stand. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him off that cross at any single time. But he said, I'm going to stay for every single one of us. And the joy that was set before him.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful thing that God would stay on a cross and say, call me joy. And when I did everything, my body's full of tattoos of hatred against God, skulls and everything that I could do against God. And yet, he stayed on that cross for me.
Amen.
And he says it's a joy that he had to endure. You know why? You know why it was a joy that he endured that? So I didn't have to.
That's right.
Oh, wow. So I didn't have to. And the next part says he despised the shame. Why? Because you are a shameful human being in your thoughts and in your mind and the things you do. And you sit there, well, I'm not shameful. Oh, in God's eyes, my friend, without Christ, you sure are. And he despised that shame and he hung there. Hung there with every bit of it. Could you imagine? Just, I want every one of you for 1 minute to think of all your filthy thoughts. All your actions that you've ever done. Everything you've done wrong. For every single one of us, he stayed on that cross and he had it all on at the same time.
Yeah.
Past, present, and future, all on him at the same time. A holy God. The creator of heavens and earth, who spoke world into existence, is now hanging on the cross with every filth that we've ever been. And it was a joy to him. And it says this, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the God of throne. Why? Because he, a throne of God. Why? Because he raised from the dead.
Amen.
After the cross, he went and made his soul an offering for sin. 3 days after he preached in the paradise, he raised again the third day. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. And now he's our advocate. Yes. You know why he done all that, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
People think God just did it because he had to do this, do this, do this. You know why he did all this, this, and this for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every single thing that we read about in this Bible was for us.
That's right.
It led to us being saved. It led to him dying for and forgiving us and giving us a new life. Every bit of it. Mm-hmm. every single thing. He done it because of the love for us. It drove him. It compelled him to do that for us. His love for us compelled him. While we're still enemies, he died. Anybody in here die for their enemies anytime lately?
No.
Not one of us would think about dying for our enemies. But Christ, you know when he died for me? When I was his enemy.
That's right.
Not when I became his friend. Not when I got in church and was trying to do the right things. But when I was his enemy, he died for me. That blows my mind. Because I'm telling you now, even as a saved person, you probably won't get me to die for my enemy. Just saying. But Christ chose to do that. What a wonderful God.
Yes.
Well, turn with me to Psalm chapter 71. We're almost done here. Psalm chapter 71. Talk about that risen Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. If you're not thankful for him today, you ought to think about it. Look at man. People don't look beyond today. They don't realize that if they were to walk out this door today, if they were to walk out of there, they could just drop dead. Anybody promise the next minute?
Nope.
No.
No. But people live that way. That's and they right. come to church, they live that way, and they walk out that door. You all know, Grace Independent, a few months ago, that lady walked up to the pastor.
Oh.
And yeah. she said, I'll see you next Sunday.
Oh.
They walked out the door, and I think within 24 hours, they're both dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You think that person thought that, Greg?
No.
But that's what people are thinking. They're not afraid of it. You know when they're going to be afraid? When it's too late and they're sitting in hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how diligent people are in hell? Do you know how prayerful they are in hell? Do you know how much they're begging for us to go out there and reach their people in hell, but it's too late. Had a young Mexican man preach. I mean, he's young. I don't know how old he was. Not even 30, maybe 30. And he preached on hell. And he just said this. He said, imagine your family. And there's somebody who's in hell right now begging that somebody would go tell them not to come here. And that's what's going on today, my friend. Hey, there's somebody in your family who's in hell who's begging you not to go there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But you know what? There's not a fear of hell today.
Mm-mm.
Because nobody believes it's real. Look at the devil. Has desensitized it. But when they wake up there, they're going to wish they didn't go.
Because
mm-hmm. you know what? It's for eternity.
That's right.
It's for eternity. They're going to wish to God that they never stepped foot in that place. There's no coming back. Let me just say this, my friend. Just because you don't believe it, don't make it not real.
That's right.
Let me just say what the book of Romans says. The book of Romans says that every person is a liar, but God is the truth.
That's it.
You don't have to believe that Bible for it to be real. But God forbid if you walk out of here and end up where it's trying to warn you not to go.
Mm-hmm.
People in hell are paying a price that Jesus Christ already paid.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you don't have to go there. I've already taken that. But they choose to reject it. You know who goes there? It's those who reject Christ. Those who reject this word. People often say, man, Dale, you know, people get mad at you preaching and, you know, they get mad at you. You know what? They're not mad at me. They're mad at this Bible. They're mad at what this book said. I'm a human being. I wouldn't write a book that says this stuff. I would write a book saying how good I am and how wonderful my works are. That's what I would write because I'm a human being. I can work my way to this. I can earn badges of honor and get to heaven. That's what I would write. But this book goes against every bit of that. It goes against everything that we are as human beings, and people hate it. And so they're not mad at me when I preach these things. They're mad at the Word of God. They're mad at what it says. They're not mad at me. They're not reject. You know what Jesus Christ says? He says they're going to reject me. They're not rejecting me. It's not going to hurt my feelings one bit when people walk out of here. Like, it doesn't bother me one inkling. But it bothered Christ.
Yeah.
It bothered him so much, Pastor, that he went to the cross. Amen. And he paid that price. You're not mad at me for preaching these things. You're mad at the Bible.
Yeah.
You're mad at what that says. Because, brother, if we look at and we examine ourselves, would we write these things about ourselves? No, we would not. Would we say those things? Would I, as a human being, say, you deserve hell? I wouldn't say that. But God does.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ preached on hell more than anybody in the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's trying to warn people not to go there.
Right.
Well, do they believe that? They don't believe it. The devil has desensitized hell. Why? He puts out movies and TV shows about Lucifer and puts out TV shows about all these things. And so what do you think people think about it? They watch it and they laugh at it and they just think, oh man, this is funny. How many people in hell do you think today are laughing about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have to go there. They choose to go there. I had somebody ask me this, and I'm going to close it here in a minute. I had somebody ask me this and said, Dale, if God is so loving, why does he put people in hell? I said, because they rejected Jesus Christ. They did it.
That's it. They did it.
He died for them.
Mm-hmm.
He died, paid that same price, and rose again the third day so that they may live. He didn't choose to put them there. He chose the cross, brother. He chose to be beat. He chose to be mocked. He chose to get his beard ripped out of his face and spit on. He chose that for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when they end up in hell, it's because they chose it, because they rejected it, not because God put them there. God did not put them there. Psalms chapter 71 says this in verse 20. He says, thou which has showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again. We see Jesus Christ, that he's going to be made alive again. He's going to rise from the dead. And it shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ had faith that God the Father was going to raise him up again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ had faith that he knew that he was not going to stay in the earth. That he was not going to stay in the depths of hell. That he was going to raise again for what? For our justification.
Mm-hmm.
He's a risen Savior. Yeah. He's not dead. The only time he's dead is when it comes to religion, and that's not him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's not Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not going to have time to finish the rest of this, but I just want people to think. I want them to contemplate on what they heard here today. Don't listen to what I had to say. Listen to what the Bible had to say. What I had to say can sometimes be nonsense, but that Bible's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It's a reality. It's not something fake. What can make somebody like myself want to do this? What can make somebody like myself who spent all those years in jails and prisons and all, what can make somebody like me want this Bible? To want to stand. The very thing that I fought against was the Bible. I fought against Jesus Christ. I fought against church. I used to make fun of church people. I used to make fun when they come knocking on my door saying, wouldn't you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'd pick on those people and call them holy rollers and Bible thumpers. And when they'd walk away, I'd kick them in their behind. I mean, legitimately, I would actually kick them in their behind. Because I just thought they were a joke. So what would make a person come from that level of hatred against Christianity to where I am today? What would make a person do that?
Jesus.
It's only by the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's only by him showing me what real love is.
Yes.
It's only by him taking those things that he said he'd take for me. And that he'd raise again on the third day for me. For me. The one who picked on Christians, the one who laughed about it, the one who mocked about it. My wife said this, and I'm closing. My wife said this. She said, honey, come to church. So I finally ended up going to church. It took a while for her to get me to go there. I went to church, but I went to church with mockery in my heart. I went to church expecting to sit there and laugh at that person as he got up there and said those things and put a smile on my face and just say, this stuff isn't real. And then God got a hold of me.
Yes.
God got a hold of me. You know what it showed me? It's real. It is the truth.
Yeah.
And you know what? He raised again that day for my justification, for me to be able to see that. Mm. Pastor, I'm done.